That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I mean when I say all lives matter. And please don't tell me what I mean when I say something. Well, it looks like most of you came back. Most of you came back. Well, tonight's topic is a little bit less of a contemporary issue that is worldwide and one that's probably a little more focused on our own country. But we'll talk about it here, but we need to begin with some prayer. Father, Lord, we do thank you. We're very grateful for the times that we can come together as your children to look into your word, especially, Lord, through these topics that we're looking at. Some of them are very controversial in our world, and Lord, we want to be lights for you. We want to respond to these controversial issues in a way that would truly honor you and truly magnify you, that others would see you in us. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us to respond properly. Ask your blessing upon our time this evening, and I do pray that it would be beneficial to us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, like I said, an issue, it has gone kind of worldwide in some respects, I guess. There are chapters of the Black Lives Movement or organization in Canada and Australia and Great Britain, but its base really is right here in the United States. And tonight's lesson, just so you know, is not about whether people with dark skin matter or not. Okay, that's not what tonight's lesson is about. That right there, just I'll put it out there, that's a biblical given that people with dark skin whatever shade of skin, okay, people matter to God, period. And they should matter to us. Everybody is equally as precious to God, regardless of the shade of color their skin might have. But that's not what our lesson is about. Tonight's lesson is about the Black Lives Matter movement, or really organization. I'm going to call it a movement because that's kind of how it started. We're going to look at what it teaches. And if you would, let's go ahead and turn right to 1 John chapter 4. I'm just going to read you verse 1 real quick, and we'll come back to it here in a few minutes and make some observations about it. But 1 John, near the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, and verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, this is a very general statement, or actually warning, caution about false prophets. But it's telling us to test the things that we hear. I mean, there are a lot of organizations, a lot of movements in the world, but we need, as Christians, we need to discern what are these things all about, all right? And we're going to do that with the BLM movement tonight. We're going to test and see whether it's in line with God and his word or not. And just so that you are aware, we are going to deal with the actual topic of racism Lord willing, next week. That will be our focus next week, racism. But tonight's lesson has to do with this Black Lives Matter movement. And just in case you've been under a rock the past couple years, all right, I'm just going to read this to you, okay? This is from their website, just a little bit of information about the movement. On the night of February 26, 2012, in Sanford, Florida, George Zimmerman fatally shot Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old African-American high school student. Zimmerman, a 28-year-old man of mixed race, was the neighborhood watch coordinator for his gated community where Martin was visiting his relatives at the time of the shooting. Zimmerman shot Martin, who was unarmed, during a physical altercation between the two. Zimmerman, injured during the encounter, claimed self-defense in the confrontation. In a widely reported trial, Zimmerman was charged with the murder of Martin, but acquitted at the trial after claiming self-defense. The incident was reviewed by the Department of Justice for potential civil rights violations, but no additional charges were filed, citing insufficient evidence. Black Lives Matter was founded in 2013, a year later, in response to the acquittal of George Zimmerman, but has since then been outspoken about the deaths of numerous Black men and women, most specifically, at the hands of law enforcement. So here, that's where Black Lives Matter, the movement, began. That's what kind of initiated it. But here's now the first point, the world's view of the Black Lives Matter movement, the first point of our 4 points this evening. The world view is that Black Lives Matter addresses systematic racism against Black people. That's the world's view of the organization. And here is part of their mission statement. And this is right from the Black Lives Matter webpage. It says, Black Lives Matter Foundation Incorporated is a global organization in the US, UK, and Canada whose mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene in violence inflicted on Black communities by the state and vigilantes, by combating and countering acts of violence, creating a space for Black imagination and innovation, and centering Black joy. We are winning immediate improvements for our lives. And that's just part of a rather lengthy mission statement from their webpage. But in defining now the world's view, here are some of the things that view addresses. And a lot of these are right in on that webpage. Number one, again, this is all part under the point of the world's view of this, okay? Black people have been wrongly singled out and brutalized by police and others. They say Black people are stopped more often by police, arrested more often by police, handled more brutally by police and others, and are jailed more often than white people. Black people have been wrongly singled out. That's part of the world's view. Here's another part. Black people have been suppressed by white people. And this, of course, goes all the way back to slavery in the United States, but yet happens today as white people hold better jobs, make more money, live in better neighborhoods, while Black people are more often poorer. The Black Lives Matter movement purports to address this kind of systematic racism in our country and around the world. And then therefore, The third thing under the world's view is the Black Lives Matter movement is morally right for the world. It can help fix it. Racism is wrong and must be addressed and corrected. And Black Lives Matter has the answer. And once again, I'm going to say this probably a few more times as we go through this tonight, but tonight's lesson is not about racism. All right, it's not about racism. Lord willing, we will address that next week, okay? This is about the Black Lives Matter movement and what they purport to stand for and what the world's view is of them. And the worldview of that movement is it addresses systematic racism against Black people. And therefore, the world's response, our second point tonight, is education, condemnation, protest, riots, and looting. Now, not all of these Black Lives Matter endorses, okay? But that's how the world is responding. That's how the world is responding to the movement. And I've summed it up in those five categories. I'm sure we could expand on that considerably. But education, condemnation, protest, riots, and looting. That is what the world is doing in response to what this movement is trying to achieve. Again, they don't openly endorse all of these things, but that's how the world's responding. Let me go through a few of these. Look at condemnation first. Condemn, and again, this is the world's response to the movement. Condemn anyone who opposes it. Condemn anyone who opposes it. How can you possibly think that Black lives don't matter? That those that oppose BLM are not only tone deaf, that's a new use of the word, but they're racist, okay? So condemn anyone that opposes it. This is the world's response. Another thing is to protest. Protest specifically against authority, law enforcement. In fact, defund the police is, I think, directly came out of a response to the Black Lives Matter movement. Let's not give our tax dollars to this organization who wrongly singles out and brutalizes Black people. Another one is to riot against authority. Again, this is the world's response. Be as violent and vulgar to authority as they have been to us. And right from their own mission statement, I read part of this already, but I'll just reemphasize one line. How do they go against authority? By combating and countering acts of violence. All right, well, if there's an act of violence, the most vengeful way to counter that is with an act of violence, and that's what we're seeing. So riot against authority. It's even got to the point to where businesses are being looted. And that is another response as a result of the world's view of this movement. Since Black people have been suppressed and kept poor, they have the right to take from others what is rightfully theirs. And then the last one, and this is probably the one that is most emphasized on their website, but I saved it for last because they believe it's a solution. I don't. All right. Education. Education about Black lives, they say, is the answer. Education about racism. Now, I'm not against education. I just don't think education all by itself is going to solve anything. We can have knowledge of a lot of things and still do the wrong thing. It's a hard issue. It's a hard issue that's going to solve it. But their focus is on education. Education, they say, is the answer. if people will be educated about the injustice that has taken place in the past and is taking place right now, people will act in a just manner. So that's what they say. But anyway, I don't think, again, education really solves anything. Again, people know a lot of things and still act in the wrong way. And we're going to look at the real answer, Lord willing, next week when we look at the topic of racism. Racism is a real thing. I do believe that it exists today. I do believe that there is animosity and even hate between people simply because of the shade of their skin. And I'm not opposed to solving the real problem of racism. I want to solve the real problem of racism. It saddens me. It saddens me. And I'll just throw it out there right now. We'll talk about it next week. But Jesus Christ is the only answer. Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to solve racism. But tonight, we're talking about the Black Lives Matter movement, okay? Here is the biblical view of the movement. And I thought about this curriculum that I'm giving you. I didn't find it someplace that I'm giving to you. This is all a result of my own study. And I thought long and hard about what the biblical view must be. And I don't think there's a really sharply defined one. So here's what I got. Discern the BLM movement. Okay? In other words, we need to weigh it. We need to look at it, investigate it, observe it, and weigh it out, because that is what 1 John chapter 4 says to do. Is it really what it purports to be? Is it really the answer to racism? Is it really morally right? Or is it something else? And we're not going to be talking about any kind of conspiracy theories or rumors about BLM tonight, okay? We want to look at the facts. We're talking about discerning what it states it is as compared to what the world thinks it is. We want to look at what it plainly states about itself. So, if you're still in 1 John chapter 4, I want to read to you the first three chapters, and I want us to make some observations, because this passage of Scripture, and there are others, but we're going to focus on this one for a few minutes here. We need to understand what we're being told here, because it really, we can apply this to lots of movements and organizations and things in the world, okay? We need to discern. But let's read the passage and make some observations here. Beginning of verse 1 again, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world." Now, just a couple things before we ask some questions here. First of all, this isn't speaking of the Antichrist as we read about in the book of Revelation. It's talking about the spirit of the Antichrist, or the influence, really, of false teachings in this world that will become a reality ultimately in the end times, okay, or in the 7-year tribulation. But rather, this is talking about the kind of teaching, the kind of teaching the Antichrist will promote, the spirit from which these teachings come is already in the world. There's evil, there's wickedness in the world. That's what we're wanting to discern, the right from the wrong, the good from the evil, the Christ-like from the Antichrist-like. All right, so looking at these three verses, what are we as God's children commanded to do with teachings that we hear? All right, test them is one thing we're commanded to do. There's one other command in there, and it's right before the testing one. All right, don't believe every spirit. So if you hear something, don't just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Don't just take it at face value. Just because it's news on Facebook doesn't mean it's true. All right? Don't buy into it. And then the second part of that, as Ruth Ann said, is test it. Test it to see, is this right? Is this wrong? Is it from God? Is it not? All right? Why are we commanded to do it? Okay, we're supposed to follow God, not the false spirit, right in our passage. All right, to see if it's from God. All right, that's what I was looking for right there, Jeff. There are many, many false teachers and teachings out there. That's why we need to test everything we hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Test everything you hear, all right? There are lots of false teachings in the world that are diametrically opposed to what God says. They may even sound good. And quite frankly, Black Lives Matter, right? It sounds right. It sounds good. And I believe at face value it is, but as we test it, We're gonna find some things that I don't know how much research you've done, but they may surprise you. All right. How can we know if a teacher is of God or not, according to the passage? Okay, whether he confesses Christ has the Christ has come in the flesh or not. Are they a believer? Now, don't get me wrong, or don't take this passage further than it's intended. It's not saying that there aren't organizations out there that do good things, but because they don't trust Christ, nothing good comes out of it, okay? I used to belong to an organization that wasn't a Christian organization, but as a result of the people I met in that organization, I came to know Jesus Christ. So, you know, there are organizations out there that have good products, good worldly products, good temporal products that come out of them. So, but when we're talking about teachings, when we're talking about organizations, if we want to make sure that this organization is of God, it needs to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. All right, so let's take a look at the Black Lives Matter movement from a biblical perspective. And I'll just tell you, I have asked, since I knew I was going to be going through these topics, and it's probably been back into late July, August, I pretty much knew I was going to be going, and I knew that Black Lives Matter was going to be one of the topics I was going to touch on. So all the way back then, I started asking people, hey, have you ever gone to the Black Lives Matter website and read what they're all about? And every single person that I have asked that question directly, and there have been a couple dozen of them, nobody had. nobody had. They knew about the Black Lives Matter organization, but nobody that I had asked directly had ever been to their website. So I'm just going to ask you real quick, and it's not, I just want to feel for where we're at here. If you have been to their website and researched it, raise your hand. Okay. All right. And that's kind of what I suspected. That's kind of, and just, it's not a good, bad, good thing, bad thing. I'd encourage you to do so, but we're going to look at some things that are there tonight. I would imagine that most people only think they know what the movement is about. They think they do. In fact, I happen to know one of the men that organized the Black Lives Matter march that took place right here in Mesquite back in June. I know him personally. And I think I know him well enough that he would disagree with some of the things that are found on their website, which tells me I don't think he checked it out. Okay, and he was one of the organizers of the march right here in Mesquite. I don't think he checked out the website because I don't think he would agree with many of the things that are found there. So I believe most people only think they know what the movement stands for, but they have never looked at it. All right, here are a couple things. This is all under the heading of the biblical view still. We'll get to the response here shortly. Number one, it was not founded nor run by believers in Christ. Okay? It was not founded nor is it run by believers in Christ. And I'm not going to try to, I guess I could try to say their names. Alicia Garza, Opal Tometi, and Harissa Cullors. These are three women that founded the Black Lives Matter hashtag. And I'm limited as to my knowledge of social media, but I believe that's Twitter, right? Hashtag, if it... Oh, it does. Oh, see, there you go. My ignorance is shining tonight. My social media ignorance is... Anyway, they started the hashtag of Black Lives Matter, and that's where the organization was born. However, the movement, like I said, has become much more than just a social media phenomenon. But anyway, I did some research on these three women, and I could not find any evidence whatsoever that they know the Lord. In fact, a little bit of the information I found is that one of them, I think, may have a strong Marxist slant, and Marxist is atheist. Okay, they don't believe in God. So anyway, I won't say any more about that. I don't believe any of them are believers. I did find one fellow, Evan Bunch, who was an organizer. He is one of the top organizers within the Black Lives Matter movement. And he is a graduate from Union Theological Seminary. I don't know much about that seminary, but here's what he says. As he organizes the Black Lives Matter movements, he says he centers his activism, and this is a quote, he centers his activism at the intersection of Christianity and African spirituality. So everything that he does is a combination of those two. Now, just quickly, what might be the problem with that? Okay, and I don't know enough about that's a very general term, African spirituality, but anytime you mix Christianity with anything, okay, it's going to be greatly diluted. And you're going to see some of that, what the product of some of that dilution here in a minute. So it's not founded or run by believers in Christ, and even the one fellow here that seems to have a theological degree, I'd imagine he would call himself a Christian, directly says, I mix it with African spirituality, and that can be a great many things. All right, and also, while there have been several Christian churches, Christian organizations that have endorsed the movement, I think it's pretty safe to say that it does not, is not based upon the Word of God or Christ. All right. And the following supports that. So I gave you, it's number one, is not founded nor run by believers in Christ. Number two, it is deceptive. And here's why I say that. Maybe you've seen, it's been a couple weeks ago now, but there was a headline on the news, and it was a former NFL player, Marcellus Wiley, says that he ripped Black Lives Matter after it removed a page on disrupting the nuclear family structure. In other words, is this Marcellus, I think I'm saying his name, Wiley, anybody know who that is? No? All right, maybe some of you do. I think he's a believer. I think he is. I don't know. But he was very upset when the Black Lives Matter website removed some verbiage from their very lengthy list of tenets right on their home page. And they did that just recently. It's hiding right now. Currently, if you were to go to the Black Lives Matter website, it reads very differently than it did 2 months ago. But by the grace of God, I happened to take a screenshot of the old page. So I've got in black and white what it said, and I'll be quoting some of that here tonight. But they are deceptive because they knew that they were going to have verbiage in there that was going to turn people off from them. And I think it's politically motivated why they pulled that information off there, okay? But nonetheless, it doesn't change the fact that they were being very deceptive in what they did. They don't want you and I to know what their tenets really are. Well, Proverbs is very clear. He who walks with integrity walks securely. He who perverts his way, he'll become known. They'll be found out. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. And that's really one thing I would hope that separates every Christian organization from non-Christian organization. That basic level, that it's true. Well, BLM isn't. It's deceptive in their practices. And this kind of leads me to the third thing here. Black Lives Matter is anti-biblical family. They are anti-biblical family. Here is what their mission page used to say, and this was one of their tenets. You can't find it on the page anymore. It says, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. So what they're stating here, again, it sounds good, all right? They claim that they are disrupting the nuclear family to help parents and children. But what is, does anybody know what the Western prescribed nuclear family is? Mother, father, children, Joe, marriage, anyone else? It actually gets a little more specific than that. The Western prescribed nuclear family structure is the Bible family structure. That's what it is. It's the family structure that is found in the Old and New Testament. And that is what they're wanting to disrupt and replace. Replace it with a societal type upbringing. I didn't write it down, but they go on to describe that basically they want to be able to take the raising of children, that responsibility, off of the parents and give it to the village or the society. All right? Let's look at a couple passages of scripture. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3, and this is a core family doctrine right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. You know, we talked about this a little bit when we were doing our series through 1 Corinthians. But the world does not like the word submission anymore. But I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with the word submission. Christ submitted to the Father. Man submits to Christ. There is an order, okay, an order that generates harmony and unity. That's the Western prescribed family. That's the family. The Western prescribed family came from the Bible. That's where it came from, and there's nothing wrong with that. Ephesians chapter 5. But that's what they're trying to dismantle. Ephesians, where'd you go, Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read a few verses here. Verse 22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Jump down to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. That's the biblical family. Continue on, chapter 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's the dad's responsibility, not society's. But they're wanting to dismantle that. One more passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. verses 4 through 7. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, don't keep them away from the front of your face, okay? Have them on your mind and in your heart continually. And you, this is the family unit, you teach your children about the Lord so that they'll love him too. And that's what they want to disrupt. That they want to put an end to it. All right, so it's not founded or run by believers in Christ. It's deceptive. It's anti-biblical family. And fourthly, BLM is pro-homosexual and transgender. And it's interesting to me that that they include this. I'm not bringing it up, okay? They bring it up. And these here's some more things that have since been edited from their front page. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. There's some big words in here. What does heteronormative mean, do you think? It's a made-up word, but what do you think they're wanting it to mean? Okay, say that again, Mitch. Normal, yeah. The heterosexual, meaning men liking women and women liking men, okay, and they're wanting to free ourselves from the tight grip of that kind of thinking. Men liking women and women liking men. We want to free ourselves. We are guided by the fact that all Black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender, by actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status or location. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. We are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift Black trans folk, especially Black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. So there's another word in there we need to address. Cisgender. Any ideas? All right, I had to look that one up. And here's Craig's translation of the definition. Cisgender are people who believe boys are boys and girls are girls. And they are wanting to dismantle that cisgender privilege. In other words, those people who think boys are boys and girls are girls, we are privileged over people who don't think that way, and they want to dismantle that, all right? Here's the actual definition that I found. It says it relates to a person whose sense of personal identity and gender corresponds with their birth sex. So in other words, these are people who think they are what they are, okay? And they want to dismantle that way of thinking. Well, Genesis 5:2 says God created them, male and female. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Is it really quarter to already? I'll read this, and then we'll move along a little quicker here. I want to finish this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And keep in mind that Paul here is talking to the church at Corinth. He's talking to believers, okay? But he's going to give us a long list of sins, and any one or number of these sins is what really disqualifies us from heaven, all right? But he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." But the list here is any one or number of these is what initially disqualifies someone from entering heaven. Thank the Lord that through the Spirit's regeneration and his washing of our sins, we can go anyway. But what they're saying here is they're endorsing those things that disqualify people. All right, they're endorsing and promoting. Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman." And he's talking to a male. It is an abomination. BLM is pro-homosexual and transgender. And then Black Lives Matter is racist. They are a racist organization. And I'll just tell you, we'll talk a little bit more about this, Lord willing, next week. But what happened to George Floyd was disgusting. It was disgusting. It saddened me. I don't know if you watched the video, but it saddened me. But it was put forth the day of, it was put forth as an act of racism and injustice before anybody could possibly know that it was racially motivated, and long before justice even had an opportunity to be served. So for them to jump on this immediately like they did, that's racism. They were counting this police officer guilty before they knew he was guilty of racism, before they knew he was guilty of racism. And I still to this day don't know if there was any race motivation there. Listen to this. The co-founder of the Toronto chapter of Black Lives Matter, and I'm giving you a few evidences here that it is a racist organization, and I'm against racism, okay? The co-founder of the Toronto chapter of the Black Lives Matter organization, Yusra Kogali, wrote on her Facebook, and this is the co-founder of the Black Lives Matter chapter in Toronto, Canada. She posted that white people are a genetic defect of blackness. In fact, she said, white skin is subhuman. That sounds racist to me. Maybe I just don't get it, but that sounds racist to me. White people cannot be in official leadership within the Black Lives Matter organization. In fact, most chapters of the organization specifically state that it is a black people space only. Just as a side note, the fourth anniversary of Muhammad Ali's death, they interviewed his only biological son and asked him a number of questions, I'm sure, but they also asked him about the Black Lives Matter movement. And Muhammad Ali's only biological son said that his father would be against Black Lives Matter. He would have called it a racist movement, and he would have called the protesters devils. If I were to read part of their mission statement, the Black Lives Matter mission statement, and trade the word black for white, you tell me if it sounds racist. Here's just one line. We are unapologetically white in our position. In affirming that white lives matter, we need not qualify our position. Does it sound, would they consider that a racist statement? Okay. But that's a line from their mission statement, only theirs says black instead of white. The last thing here, number six, the Black Lives Matter movement is divisive. It isn't unifying. It is divisive. It isn't unifying. All the movement has done is redrawn the lines of division based upon skin color. And in fact, I don't even like calling it color because there's tones. We're going to talk about this next week a little bit. But there's skin tone. That's all it is. But anyway, they've redefined the lines those lines of separation. They haven't erased the lines at all. They've darkened them in. I think all the movement has done is added fuel to the fire of racism. Just personal experience here. I was in the airport in Indianapolis late August, and I was around all kinds of people there, okay? All sorts of nationalities and ethnic. There's a fancy ethnicities, is that right? Okay, there we go. And I was completely comfortable. And in our terminal, there came a group of people that were all wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts. And they didn't do anything, everything was fine, but I have to tell you, the instant I saw that, and the instant I looked them in the eye, they looked me in the eye, I'm wondering, do they hate me? You know, that's what the movement has done to me. It's made me feel uncomfortable, not around people with different shades of skin, okay? But when I see the BLM logo, that all of a sudden I feel like maybe they don't like me. I don't know. But anyway, it has drawn the lines of division rather than erase them. The biblical response. We've only got like 7 minutes here. Christians must be against racism. Biblical response. Overall, I think we have to oppose the movement. I really do. I think we have to oppose the Black Lives Matter movement. We don't oppose black lives. We oppose this movement, okay? Christians, and in line with that, just a couple things under this biblical response. Christians must be against racism. We're going to talk about that next week. Christians must be against sin. We can't endorse it. We can't promote it. We have to be against sin, whether it be brutality, abuse of power, racism, harming the biblical family. We have to be against sin because the wages of sin is death. Christians must be for truth and justice. We need to stand for those things. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, God says in Psalm 89:14. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We need to be for truth and justice. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then fourthly, we need to be impartial. We need to be impartial. And I'm just going to read these to you. You can write the references down, look at them later if you want. But Romans 2:11 says, there is no partiality with God. No partiality with God. Romans 6:10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. For all. Luke 2:10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you great tidings, or good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Hebrews 9:12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. Christians must be impartial. Fifth, Christians must love all the people of the world. Why? Why must Christians love all the people of the world? Because God does. Yeah. That we're created in his image. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Christians must preach Christ to every creature. Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why would God tell us that, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Okay, everybody could have a chance for salvation. Anybody want to rephrase that, Becky? Doesn't want anyone to perish, Amanda? That's what I was fishing for. That's what I was fishing for, because all lives matter. And it's hard to even believe that that statement can drum up so much controversy. I heard a spokesperson for Black Lives Matter say that it is wrong to say all lives matter. Because he said, when you say that, what you're really saying is you don't care that more black people are gunned down by police than any other race. You don't care that more black people are arrested and jailed than any other race. You don't care about all the black people that have been brutalized by law enforcement and vigilantes. You don't care that black people have been suppressed by white people. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I mean when I say all lives matter. And please don't tell me what I mean when I say something. Sin is a problem with humanity. Sin is why racism exists. Sin is why black and white people and people of all shades of skin are arrested and even gunned down sometimes. Sin is why brutality and abuse happens, and all people are guilty of it, of sin. And therefore, all people must hear the gospel, because all lives matter to God, and that is what I mean when I say all lives matter. And sadly, that's not what BLM means when they say Black Lives Matter. It saddens me to see just how menacing, divisive and destructive this movement has been in our country, and even in the church to a degree. I think it's less of a problem in the church, because I pray that in the church we understand some of the things I just said. We understand what God says. We understand that he's impartial. We understand that all lives matter to him. There is no partiality with God. All right, I am done, but we do have a couple minutes for comments or questions if you like. Eula. Yeah, I fail to see the love in the organization. And I'm going to just emphasize it one more time. This lesson isn't about racism. It's about this organization. So, Jeff. Okay. Okay.
And that's what it is. And all they do is replace the hate.
Yeah.
They just turn it back to those people who they say are hating them.
Right. Yeah, lots of organizations like this. And like you say, contrary to the biblical aspect of lifting people up, encouraging, they tear people down. Anything else? Yeah, Jeannie. Who's going to change the diapers? Anyone else? Joe.
Do you think it's insensitive for people that believe all lives matter to counter what they say and say that? Because it's, we understand what they mean when they say it, even if the corporate Black Lives Matter is misguided. We all recognize inherently Black Lives Matter. No one argues against that. A lot of they shout Black Lives Matter, a lot of some people shout All Lives Matter.
Right.
And it just, it feels like that could be unloving.
Right. No, I don't think the All Lives Matter statement should be in retaliation. I don't know that, in fact, that probably wouldn't, because you know it's going to trigger someone. That wouldn't be the loving thing to do. But it would be loving to tell them that I love you, God loves you, and he cares about you as much as he cares about me. You know, I don't know if that's helpful at all to you or not,
yeah,
Joe, but
I've seen even arguments where they'll say, well, they'll try and take on a Christian perspective when they say Black Lives Matter.
Right.
They say, well, okay, let's talk the way you guys think. And so Jesus leaves the 99 sheep to rescue the one that's lost. So therefore, the group or the person that's more lost or more oppressed, God goes after that person to bring them back to the fold. That they'll use that kind of argument. And I don't know.
Yeah, and well, that's
so,
see.
Groups that are more oppressed.
Absolutely, that is racism has brought that,
yeah.
And we'll talk about racism, but again, I wouldn't say anything. I mean, arguing won't get us anywhere. So to deliberately say to someone, all lives matter, you know, that's going to, you're not going to get anywhere in love with them doing that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with taking the opportunity to describe that you believe all lives matter biblically. What's that? Antifa? I don't know that I ever mentioned. There's another one I got to put on my list. No. My list is growing, and I know I'm not going to get through them all, but what was that, Richard? Only an idea, yeah. All right. Jeannie?
Because
No, and I
it's never gonna go away because they want to keep people fresh, so they'll need them.
Racism will not go away in a sin-filled world, but it can go away in an organism like the church body. Yeah. We need to be the different ones. Saw one more hand back here, I thought. That is a subject we're going to be looking at. Yeah. All right. But I've already told you what next week's is. It's going to be racism, okay? But let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for tonight, and thank you for the guidance that you give us so that we can avoid believing everything that we hear and truly test the teachings and teachers that we hear from. Thank you for your word that gives us the truth and guides us rightly. Thank you in Jesus' name.